the Atari 400 Mini, honest first impressions from old school Atari 8-bit owning twins. The Atari 400 Mini arrived for both of us late last week. Here are our first few very candid discussions on what we like and dislike about the system. Okay. Hey, Steve, what are we here to do today?
We're here to talk about the Atari 400 Mini.
We are going to talk about the Atari 400
Mini. Came a couple days ago, and we have had some time to play with it for a few days. And we want to give our first impressions, second impressions, and I guess third impressions.
And third impressions. Okay. So, do you want to start with just your first impression, or
do
you want to
Let's do the first impression is of the packaging. Let's just say the packaging is absolutely beautiful.
Okay, so here is the box. The Atari 400 Mini. Front of the box.
Yeah. It's a good-looking box. That is the, you know, that looks like the Atari 800 box that was under the Christmas tree, Christmas 1983. I love the colors. I love the silver. I love the rainbow Atari logo. I love the way the 400 looks, even though we got an 800. I love it. I love it. It really brings back sweet nostalgia memories, the packaging does. And
here's, this is upside down.
Yeah.
This has this side has a picture of all of the Atari 8-bit computers on it and a 5200. That's pretty good, cool. There are games on this side, including Lee and Berserk, Star Raiders 2, Millipede, Mule, and Miner 204 Niner. Now we'll get to Mule in a second.
We'll get to a lot of the games
Most of these games are pretty good, are action arcade style games, and I was able to play most of them pretty well. So we'll get to that in a second.
So let's open the box. So in the box is something interesting. There is a manual that I think, if you can show, the manual is beautiful as well. The manual looked like Atari catalogs from back at this time. And it's great. It's a great manual for one page. It's very light on content when you open it up inside, which is unfortunate, I think.
Unfortunately,
you're probably going to have to show scans of this or something because you can't really see it on the camera.
Yeah, or something. But here's a QR code. Yeah, I'll bring up
the QR code. Will take you to a website where they have. I mean, I went there to look at the directions. They aren't really great directions for the games. I wish they had. They're not the scanned manuals or anything. They're kind of like brief rundowns on how to play the games, which I feel a little cheated by, I'll be honest with you. I think they really should have...
For $120?
$130. I think really having scanned manuals on the console inside the emulator would have been a really nice touch and a way to go forward with adding more games. So I think that that's a miss for me, honestly. But let's say the packaging, great. The presentation... cool. The other thing I like, let's talk about the actual Atari 400 console itself, mini console itself. It's darling.
It's darling. It is being dwarfed Stonehenge-wise by the joystick.
Just like Spinal Tap Stonehenge is dwarfed by the joystick. It's very cute. It has a power button on the back that I haven't got to work turn it off, but it does turn it on, but it does not turn it off. I have to pull out the power to turn it off. Does you have to do the same thing?
You know what? The power button is a little tricky. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Which is kind of weird to me. I do wonder why at least the function button, the option select start reset, cannot function on there.
Okay, so here it's darling. See my USB stick almost dwarfs the console.
Yeah, it does. It does. It almost dwarfs the console.
In fact, this is an old school USB stick for the old school console.
It's an Atari 400 console that's in danger of being crushed by a thumb drive, basically. So, I mean, or a joystick, or CX40 or CX stick or whatever that's called. So it is cool. The other thing I love about it, I love this. I love that it comes with cables that are colored the tan color.
Yes.
That's a really nice addition. The tan colored cables are great. It really adds to can you show the tan colored cables, Jeff?
Yeah, the tan colored, because you got tan colored USB.
Yeah.
I mean, tan colored HDMI and USB.
Yeah, I love it.
Which
I
is
love
really
it.
Cool.
They,
it's
the, it comes right out of
it. That's a really good idea.
Gives great Atari vibes. It's really cool. So what do you think of then the interface when you, let's talk about the interface first. The interface that comes up that brings up with the emulator and all that.
Okay, outside of the controller, the interface is clean, simple, it boots up, is a cool little song that plays, and you get to choose your 20 games or USB stick, and you load 25 games or you choose from USB stick. That's fine.
No, but I mean, it comes up, the first thing it does is ask you a question, right?
First question is,
60 hertz or 50 hertz? And if you set it to 50 hertz, then games like Mule won't play correctly.
Well, all the American games will be slow.
Right, and you can tell.
And if you set it to 60 hertz, all the UK games will be fast. And there's no setting internally to fix
it. Right, I think that's one of the problems.
And emulation is all about tweaking settings to get things to work.
Right, and you should be able to tweak. You need to be able to tweak the hertz per game. That's big for the emulator. Otherwise, the interface is neat. I like the interface. I wish when you added your own games from your thumb drive, they would show up in the menu as well. I wish you could get other things to show up in the menu. I don't know what emulator they're using, if it's their own emulator or something new, but it's a fairly nice emulator. I'm sure it's missing all sorts of stuff that I don't know about.
It's an Android emulator called Colony.
Oh, it is.
That's what it is. So it is not one of the ones that everybody uses them. I don't think it may be Colony, maybe based off of Atari 800. I'm not sure. But because it's a different build, there's things maybe in it that we don't know aren't parts of it. Yet maybe you can't go above 128K, things like that. So there may be pieces
of
this.
We'll talk a little bit about that. So we've got the interface, which I think is clean. It's nice. Let's talk about the stick then. The CX stick.
Mm. So what they did with the CX stick is...
Stick is the right name for it.
Yeah, it is. So what they did, let me talk about the stick in general, then you talk about what you think about the stick, okay? The stick is a regular Atari... it looks like a regular Atari stick. It has a regular fire button, but then it has more buttons assigned out on the outside rim, these top, bottom, left, and right. And it has a one trigger button right here. We'll get to the problems with that. And a start and select button at the top. It was an interesting idea implemented wrong. Tell them why, Steve.
So those buttons in the... Because if... I think people who didn't actually play with Atari joysticks back in the day, I hate to say those words, but back in the 70s or 80s, designed the stick, the button placement. Because the way that I have my muscle memory is my index fingers are right where those buttons are. And so it is incredibly easy to hit them by accident, especially when you're in the heat of playing a game.
Which one you get hit up the most?
I don't know. What it was, home and menu, right? I hit one of them. The other one, the little one down the side, I've not tried yet. That one may be the reason why Mule messed up for me. I'm going to try it and see. Okay. But we can talk about the idiosyncrasies of those specific games. But the controller itself, to me, sticks as well. And I'll tell you which game, when we get to it, it doesn't work well on. And also, it is very easy, I think, just in general, it's very easy to press the buttons by accident, which I think is a huge mistake. I wish they had put somewhere on that stick, option, select, start, and where I would have put the buttons is on the back, because the back is not where your hands go. So when you're holding a CX stick, either the top on the back or in the back of the stick, you don't necessarily press the buttons there. I need to hold it again, but I would say that that's probably the best place. It's in the back, not the front.
And so probably the functions of this, the way it was actually functioned is to have you know, you regular joystick. It's a little stiff. We'll talk about that. But there, if you press the home and select together, you get an on-screen keyboard. Works.
Cool, yeah.
If you press the home button by itself, you will go back to the menu, but you press it again, you go back to your game.
Right, so that's okay.
So, and there are some saving. You've got 4 save slots per game, even for the games you load on. The idea about the features they put into it is good. Me, implementation-wise, I fumble with every button on the stick. The start, option, and select are just on different spots for different games.
I know, I don't like that at all.
You can map them. There needs to just be the start, option, select buttons, like
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, somewhere so on there.
On the stick, the stick was an interesting idea, but not implemented very well. They need to put out a stick that does this better.
Yeah, I think my frustration, I'd say, with this is that they needed to focus group test this stuff with real people who are going to use a console like this, because they could have found this stuff out much earlier than
right.
what they did. I think they got it out very fast. I think in some ways they thought they knew best. I don't think they know best. My feeling is Atari people did not work on this, or people like Atari. I feel like it's Commodore people who are asked to make an Atari product, because the retro games is only done Commodore products in the past, right?
I think they did a Spectrum
okay.
I think.
But they do the Amiga and the Commodore 64 Mini and the Maxi.
But those machines were incredibly popular there. They should have asked people who actually been using the machines for the last 30 years,
maybe they do know a lot about it, but if you didn't actually play games like hardcore,
yeah.
Like we did on the 800, then you wouldn't know what happens when your fingers go and press those buttons by accident. So I think they needed to use more people then that maybe held the stick a different way. But as it is, many, many times when I'm playing a game, I drop out because I hit right. that. And in Boulder Dash, for example, if you hit that menu button while you're playing a level, it drops back out to the menu and you're done. So you don't even get to continue playing your level. Also in Boulder Dash, pressing down sometimes doesn't work at all. So, and I can't tell exactly where or when, but like the down on the joystick doesn't work in Boulder Dash. It sticks. Now maybe that's just my stick, but Boulder Dash is a non-player from playable game for me, because either I'm going to hit that home button or menu button, I don't know which one, and it's going to dump me back out to the title screen and then it starts over. Or I'm going to be playing and I'm going to press down and a rock's going to crush me because I went the wrong direction. So Boulder Dash is a right. game that requires very precise joystick usage, and you don't want to just dump out to the menu by accident. So that to me is very frustrating. Now, maybe you could reconfigure the buttons on it to make that menu button not do that and have it be a different button, and maybe that's fine. That could be possible. I don't know. I haven't tried it. But the default doesn't work.
Got it. So I think that we've covered the joystick immensely.
And Boulder Dash, too.
And Boulder Dash. We'll talk about some of the games just a second. Let's talk a little bit about
Boulder Dash, by the way, and getting frustrated by the joystick.
We're going to put it up right now. I'll put it up. There's other video stuff we'll put up too while we're talking about them. One thing about the emulator, not the problems with the emulator yet, but what you can choose for each game that you load on. So if you can load ROMs on, very simply, you put them in the root of a USB stick, only 255 files per folder, so you need to split up into separate folders. Once you've done that, you just pick a game and you run it. Now you pick it, and then you can choose options for what machine it runs on. You can choose 400, 800, 5200, and I think 130XE. Maybe you'll choose 65XE and XEGS. But you can't do any more than that. And so the problem that you have is you can't choose Atari 400 with PAL. You can't choose above XEGS with 100 with 1000. With 1 meg, so that you can play Atari Blast. There's things you can't do with it, but what is there, I've got to fumble around and get to work. It's not the best. You don't have very many options, so it's okay. You can load your ROMs on, you can choose a machine, you get the very basics. Like, you get, unfortunately, you just get the very basics of what you can
right.
do. And it works, but it leaves a lot to be desired. Did you load on any games that you tried that you needed to go in and play with the settings?
No.
I did.
What games?
I did. I loaded on Atari 400 game, K-Razy Antics, I think it was, that usually only runs in the 400. It worked. So I was able to get a few things like that to work. So before we talk about loading on ROMs, the games built in. Let's talk a little bit about the ones you tried.
I tried Asteroids, and I liked it. You know, I played, obviously I played Asteroids before, so that was decent. I played Berserk, and Berserk is hard. I didn't remember it being this hard, and it has the voices. I don't know if the voices are new or not. I don't remember them from... I don't even
voices
think Berserk
in 5200
was
version.
On the 8-bit. Is this a new version of Berserk?
So this is the... There was a... I have a cartridge of Berserk that is the before... It was like the pre-release version. So I have a pre-release cartridge of Berserk. It did... It does... They took that, I think, and they made it into a final version.
Okay.
So...
Well, that's cool. So you've got... So I played... Missile Command, which actually worked really well.
My Missile Command just died in the middle of emulation, but it may have been the system I was playing on. Like the I probably chose 130XE instead of 400.
And so I'm just playing by default. I played Mule, and this is where I first started getting an indication that things are going to be not quite so great. So Mule, if you play in 50 hertz, like, you know, could be because you want the UK games to work, the 50 hertz Mule is too slow. So bolts.
Well, tell them why you have 50 hertz on there first. Why did you start with 50 hertz, Steve?
Because you told me to.
Yes, because I told you to. Because I thought that when I started playing this, I couldn't get some things to work, and I figured, oh, I might as well start at 50 hertz to get other games to work. I recommended that to you. You did it, and then Mule didn't work, and we're running slow. You went back to NTS.
And also,
you went back to 60.
Also, so the music plays slow, and I could tell it right away. And also, the controller had a lot of lag, right? When I put it in 60 hertz, it was back to playing normal, which was great. But when I started playing the game, I noticed that there's some graphics missing. At the very least, the mules in the Mule Store do not display. There's some other. I read online, and I hadn't seen this, but I didn't look that closely. There's some letters and some other things that are missing as well in certain places.
Yes.
Yes. And I did try it. Someone said, maybe it's the hardware. But I did load up the home soft version of Mule that I downloaded from my USB stick, and it works great. It also has slightly different graphics, the HomeSoft version. So I'm not sure if the HomeSoft version is a slightly later version that was released or something. I don't know, but it's the one that I remember playing when we were
so kids. This is what happened with some of those games. Originally, when I used Atari 800 Win, which a lot of these emulators were built off of, the Atari 800 core. I don't know if Colleen was. It may have been a fork, right? That version in like 2005, I want to say, we tried to play Mule, and some of the graphics were messed up. And eventually, that was off like a disc I found off of one of those Yogi disc archives or whatever.
Yeah, I have the
Yogi
Mule, and I've tried it on my own, on my Atari 800. XL, and it does the same thing. There's missing graphics. So I don't think it's the emulator. I think it's the version.
Yes, I think it's the version. I do too. I was going to say, I think it's the version, because HomeSoft One later on tried and it worked fine. So it's the version of Mule, probably a crack that doesn't work. Like we mentioned, like I talked about you before, some of these might be because they're cracks. Some of them might be because they're not cracks, right? Because they put discs in that need to have the sectors in the right place, and so it's not emulating the disc properly for the bad sectors. So you're getting like as if a game was copy protected. So it could be that, or it could just be bad cracks.
Yeah,
one of the
version of Mule is has a problem. The other game that really kind of this made me very sad. Seven Cities of Gold. So it starts up, and I have a video of this. You can see the difference between the two. You can see the original one, and that I have on running with the original title screen, and then the one that's on here. What they did was they removed the Electronic Arts title screen, which I understand that needs to be removed, I guess, for whatever reason. but they also removed the title screen that Danny Button created with the hand that writes out Seven Cities of Gold, which is a beautiful, beautiful title screen. And then what they also removed was the option to build your own world. So there's not, you don't build your own world by hand. You have the Danny Button wrote this amazing routine that built, that basically creates a brand new game for you every single time. Now it requires a blank disc. So I feel like they weren't able in time to figure out how to provide that blank disc
right
to the game, but I'm sure it's doable. What happened is Seven Seas of Gold is basically half the game that they've supplied. Now, once you start playing Seven Seas of Gold, the version that's there, the music is there, which is pretty good. The gameplay, I was able to play it, and so it was okay to play, but it's missing half of it. And to me, that's really, really sad. They're not really preserving the game in that case. They're kind of just letting someone sample it, letting someone else do the job of preservation. And that to me is kind of tragic, I'll be honest with you.
I think that the whole thing needs a firmware update, including the games.
I did do the other thing, which I have a video of as well, of me plugging in my Atari VCS Classic Disc so I could unlock the Super Breakout and Warlords. So I did do that. I plugged it in. It did unlock it. Super Breakout showed up. And then I tried to play Super Breakout, and I've never used the little twisty stick on there for a paddle, but it's garbage. It doesn't work at all. So at least mine doesn't. I don't know if that this was that, but I mean garbage. It's, you know, paddles are very. I played Breakout in 1979, sitting in Carrie's bedroom, you know, our friend Carrie's bedroom, for hours, and I just instinctively know how the paddle is supposed to move.
You and the paddle were one.
Yeah. The paddle and I are one, and this is just not.
Can you use any other controller with it? Can you use the joystick? I know it's not a good controller, but can
it's really weird. Okay, so what was funny is I had to plug in. So you can it works in the second USB slot, and it will move stuff around on the screen. But once you go to play the game, then you have to plug it in to the first USB spot. USB slot to actually be able to play, but then like there's something you couldn't do unless the other joystick was plugged in. I was like, this is just stupid. Like I had to keep, and maybe I did again. Maybe I did something wrong, but it seemed like I had to keep unplug one stick and put the other one in just to get a game of Breakout going. It was kind of a pain in the butt. Yeah. So what else is on our list? What about the other games for you, Jeff?
So me, I played half a dozen of the actual games that are on it. With mostly success. I think I had some hiccups, but there were games that I think Missile Commander is the only one was a problem, and I'm not sure why it worked the second time. First time I just died after the first level. Could just be an emulator little hiccup, but I loaded on a bunch of Activision games. So I played Dreadnought Factor, worked beautifully.
Awesome.
I played. Keystone Capers, the version that's on for the Atari 100, that worked great. I played River Raid, that worked great. So those were working great. And I really wanted to push the emulator a little bit. So I played those games by CBS, the K-Star Patrol, K-Razy Shootout. Those all worked. I had to set one of them, like I said, to Atari 400, but those worked. So it works for the type of thing that I wanted it to do, but I was really hoping to use like Pinball Construction Set and stuff with it, and of course that's not going to work because you can't save to a disc at the moment, and they need to up that game, because that would be so fun to show, like, construct a pinball machine on your Atari 400 Mini or something. It'd be really cool to do.
I do
something
think
like that
Pinball Construction Set is a big miss. I think that more Synapse games is a big miss. I think they should have had, you know, Blue Max or at least would have been great, but you know, the Zeppelins and the Ford Apocalypses and the Seamuses. I think not having any Adventure International or automated simulation games like Epic's, you know, like Temple of Apshai, stuff like that. I think
of
those
course,
are misses.
Epic's games, the Commodore 64, all the Commodore 64 packs that come out are just full of Epic's games only. Where are the Atari Epic's games?
The other thing I would have really liked to see is a role-playing game on there, like to show a real 8-bit role-playing game. Fantasy 1, Fantasy 2, one of the Ultima 3, Ultima 4.
Yes.
Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. One of those games. I'm going to set up Fantasy 1 and Fantasy 2 both have 4 discs. So unfortunately, I think you can only load up to 3 discs on it, or you can make a play. I guess John said on John Gen X grown up said that you could make a playlist. I haven't figured any of that out yet about how to even load multiple discs in. But Ultima,
Gen X grown up has great stuff on all those. So that's
Ultima 3 is only 2 discs. So I do plan to load that up and see if I can play it, because I especially like the ability to rewind. I think it would be useful in Ultima, and the ability to have a save slot. I think all that stuff is cool. But I do want to try that. I just need a different controller. My controller, maybe mine doesn't work. It sticks badly. I hit the buttons.
Try this. Do you have the Ranger, like one of the ones the people that made the Retron 77.
Oh, I have it.
They came out with a USB version. No, but they came with a USB version of a joystick with 2 buttons. So possibly that if you plug that one in the first port and the other stick in the second port, maybe the other buttons would still work on it to do the functions from this. I don't know.
It's
second port,
then
you could use that one, because it's.
I think
I have to try it out.
I gotta try different configurations.
I got more videos to make on trying things with this. I got a whole bunch of videos to make on trying stuff with the 400 Mini. It's gonna be the focus of the channel for me over the next few weeks. Is what all can I get this thing to do?
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea.
But the problem I have is I can't record the screen directly from the 400 Mini. Yeah, I can't. The whatever they're using, I have a great capture device that plugs into USB. The capture device records everything else I've recorded, the Jaguar, everything, right? This it will not. The HDMI in will not work. I can make the capture device send it out back, and it works fine because it has an output, so you can watch on one screen and record on another. It will. So it's not the capture device. It is somehow the software is not decoding what's coming from the 400 Mini for some reason. Don't know why.
That's interesting. I have no idea. I know that USB. Sorry. I know that at HDMI on these portable or these retro devices is always kind of persnickety. Even on my Evercade, the HDMI port is like faulty, and so I can plug in and play HDMI on my TV, but if I touch the HDMI cable, which is literally plugged into it, it resets the entire thing, and I'm like, that sucks. So when you get into playing a game, just like you're hitting the front buttons on this controller, you move the HDMI cable and things reset, and it's like that's unacceptable. I mean, you're making these devices so people can experience like games in HD, right? In HDMI and HD, but experience the games, you know, the old games, the way they're supposed to be played. And to have such glaring problems with the button placement on those sticks, or just all the missing content, especially in the Danny Button games.
Someone should have playtested Mule and said, wow, there's no Mules.
Yeah, or maybe I think they just didn't know. And my feeling is the people who played this either didn't know or were uninformed. I mean, to me, Mule is like one of the, you know, top 10 best games ever made. I know every nuance of it, so I noticed it right away, right? But there's going to be people who that's not the case for. I feel like they needed to find someone who knew a little bit more about the nuances of running all these machines. I'm not saying it's us. I'm saying they needed to find someone.
No, of course.
Right? Because there's a lot of stuff I don't know either. Oh. But I do know a lot of these games. And I do know that the 3 that I wanted to play, Boulder Dash, Mule, and 7 Seas of Gold, are unacceptably... they're unacceptable.
Right. I did get Mule. Me personally, even though that doesn't show the Mules, I was able to take a Mule out and put it on a plot of land, and it worked without any latency. But that's not everyone's experience.
But there
right?
is there is a
and
time,
I don't know what else is missing.
Two times I took my mule out of the store, into the overmap, and I hit some button by accident that made it seem I was trying to place my mule. It wasn't that I ran out of time because I had a lot of extra time. It seemed like I pressed a button to place the mule and it ran away, and it was really frustrating because it's really easy to lose your mule, and losing your mule and mule can be devastating. And that is another unacceptable thing. The controller, I thought there was some lag. I think there is some lag sometimes because when I press my button, when I'm trying to get my plot of land, I don't get it. But you know what? That's happened on the 800XL as well. So that might not be the problem. But the stick having the buttons in the wrong place to make very precise gameplay impossible, that's unacceptable.
So all in all then, what out of 100%, what do you give your first 3 days with the Atari 400 Mini, Steve?
What do you give it, Jeff?
I'm giving it a 50% because it could be lower. I'm only giving it 50% because I was able to load on and play those CBS games and they worked really well. The actual included games, the hardware, I don't like any of that. But I like the fact I was able to play the games I wanted to do. The unit that was delivered, I don't like, but I was able to use some of the things I wanted to do, so I'm getting about 50%. What do you think?
I think that's a little low, but I think the reason is I think the actual presentation and packaging, except for the instructions, is like a 90. I give it like a 90%.
Right.
The controller, honestly, I give it a 10%.
Right.
The ability to load your own games, the save features, that stuff, that's amazing. That's fantastic. But it's the awesome. Actual content itself, the fact that I couldn't play the three games I wanted to play that were included, I could probably find the ROMs myself and play them. But part of this is like introducing new people or who people have never played right. these games before. And if they run into these same problems, they're going to say, well, these games are garbage. And I think to me, it's a tragedy if someone plays this and they're like, oh no, I do think that these old Atari games suck because whatever, because I can't play Mule or whatever. I think that's a tragedy. So to me, I agree with you. Right now, if you add it all together, I give it 50%. But I think there's potential there for it to be much more. They have to find a fix for this controller or have a different controller or recall the damn controller because it really isn't good. Okay.
You know, I think that there's that controller that's for the GameStation Pro that plugs into this and works. That would be a perfect controller for it, I think.
Okay. If that
You'd
works,
have to map buttons.
That's but... interesting. But I still mean I have to buy a different controller. I mean, or get a different
controller. I know.
I get it. But yeah. I think as a package, they really should deliver a controller that works. Plus, it's sticky. Plus, there's other stuff. I think the controller's a huge problem when it could have been a big win. Do not understand why option select start are not on it. Don't understand why those aren't the buttons. Don't understand why they're not in a right. place that I don't hit them with my fingers. I don't think anyone actually used this to play games before.
I have this feeling that the people that, I'm just going to guess, okay? The people that started working on this said, oh, those F1 through F4 buttons on the Commodore 64, they're remapped all the time. The Atari ones are actually used for particular
things.
Yeah, they
things. Are.
And that's
the
problem.
That's the thing. They're not remappable buttons. Options select and start are like commonly used for specific things. And it's not like something. Because even I noticed in Mule, like I started using the two buttons to bring up the keyboard menu to do options select start, and that actually works really well. But like also like the side button does option or one of them does, but like it's not consistent and doesn't make any sense the way the buttons are set up on there. You really need to open up the keyboard menu. Excuse me. I will say that keyboard menu is great. You couldn't really type. I mean, it'd be really really painful to type like in BASIC on it, but you could.
But it's probably better than the original Atari 400 keyboard.
Probably better. Yeah. Maneuvering on it's a little weird, but I could see. Doing some very fun, tiny little basic stuff or playing a game that required you to press certain keys, you know, to like old Ultima or something, where you have to like press a key every once in a while to do stuff. Maybe. I think Ultima actually requires...
You can't put in a USB keyboard and mouse,
though. Yeah, actually, now so. I think about it, Ultima, I think, requires the arrow keys, so you probably couldn't do it. But I think that there's a lot of potential with that side keyboard. I would have rather seen it come up at the bottom. I think they could have made space for it to come up at the bottom if they didn't use the entire screen, right? But they're trying. I know they're trying to use the 4.3, you know, entire screen, but there could have been a way to bring it up. And what else do I want to say? But all in all, I think that everything is fixable, whether they have the wherewithal or the knowledge or the care to actually fix the stuff is not up to me.
I will be creating some more videos this week about it also, and then we'll see, and we'll get some shorts up on playing various games on it, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
We'll come up next weekend. We'll come up with our second impressions.
Sure.
It's our fourth, fifth, and sixth impressions, but it's our second impression.
This is
our first impression.
The thing is, again, I think if you're a very casual person and want to understand and play a few games that for the Atari 8-bit, and you don't care about all the problems you mentioned, it's a fine little thing to get started with.
It's a fine little thing.
But I would say that if you at all are an enthusiast or wanted to bring back some nostalgia feel the actual nuances, it's not going to work for everybody because of some of these problems.
Here's one thing, a casual retro gamer who does this stuff.
Okay.
If you're a retro game guy who likes to play with this stuff, you can use a different joystick and get it to work. If you're just a casual guy picking this up at Target for $120, which will never happen, by the way, but if you're just a new casual pick it up, you're going to have a problem with this because the joystick doesn't work. But what I mean is, someone who does this stuff, you don't need to use this joystick.
You can do it. All right. My battery is about to run out. This was fun. I'm sorry. I really wanted it to be more than a 5. Hopefully they can do some fixes. I think it has the potential to be an 8 if they can make some of these fixes. But right now, for me, it's a 5. Or 50%.
Okay.
Whatever we're saying.
All right, we'll get a second impression.
50%, 5, 8 out of 10. I don't know.
We'll get a second impression later the next week, and we'll find out if it's improved at all.
Cool.
Maybe there's a firmware update by then, too. You never know. They did that with the 2600 Plus. They got a firmware update
pretty
quick.
There's no official firmware update for the 2600 Plus, by the way. I saw that online. There's only the unofficial firmware update.
Into the vertical blank.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full-stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.
We are the forgotten generation, a misplaced slice of the 20th century when birth rates were as low as expectations for the future. We lived under the threat of constant nuclear annihilation, playing outside, but always inherently knowing the future was indoors. We are the second half of Generation X. We were some of the first to play video games, program home computers and record CDs to cassette mixtapes. Our generation was nourished by new wave, imperfect punk rock, and John Hughes movies. We built Web 1.0 from the ground up using our childhood 8-bit and 16-bit programming skills. They call us Gen X. We prefer the vertical blank generation, where magic happens between the lines, because that's where we live, love, and thrive. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.
The vertical blank is the space between the last line of the current frame and the first line of the next, where off-screen calculations create a cathode ray tube display. Exist literally between the lines, invisible yet all seen, in a void where magic occurs that is never seen, only experienced. The vertical blank is an omniscient force containing the nuances that make our nostalgia a reality. It's the transcendental location that holds our best memories, biggest joys, greatest fears, and our most terrible losses. You've been warned. You can stop this tape now, turn around, for once you enter, there may be no escape. All the scan lines have been written. It's time to enter the vertical blank.
Into the vertical blank.
Next frame calculator, prepare to write new data. Be blank ending.